show you that before a sermon. Except just to give you an example of how I do push-ups and jump rope, all right? Now, the reason I showed you that is today I want to talk to you about strength. When I thought about strength, I thought of some different examples. And one of the examples that came to mind is, of course, Rocky. How Rocky exercised and got himself built up because he was ready for the fight of his life. He wanted to be a champion. And in Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews 13, find that in your Bible. In Hebrews 13, what you find there are no less than at least 12 commands or imperatives that really describe for us not how to be saved, but how the saved ought to be. All right? What it means to be strong as a Christian. Because you see, here's the deal, church. We need to know what it means to be a strong church because we're to fight the good fight, the Bible says. We're to keep the faith and we're to run the race. And see, here's the deal. The church needs to get up off the couch and get in the battle. It's time for the church to get in the fight. It's time for the church to bulk up and realize that it's game on. Amen? I mean, it is time more than ever, perhaps, just as it was in the first century, it is in the 21st century, for the church to understand that we've got to be strong. We've got to be strong because there are some foes and there are some battles that we're going to face. So in Hebrews 13, I'm going to give you today seven signs of a strong church. Seven signs of a strong church. So stand with me and honor God's word. I want to read you a portion of chapter 13. Verse 1, chapter 13 says this, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison as though imprisoned with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." You see, right there, let me just give you kind of a hint on Bible study. Especially when you're reading the second part of the New Testament, the letters, the epistles. One of the things you can do, and graduates, you can do this when you get, if you're going away to college or what have you, and you're going to study the Bible, or you're, you know, getting ready to, you know, just go into the workplace, what have you, and this works for everybody. When you're reading the New Testament, especially the epistles, look for verbs. Look for verbs. All right? You look for the actions. You look for the commands. Look for the directions. Right there, you read the first verse, he says, "Let brotherly love continue." Boom. You ought to write that down. That's key. So you see, that's what you have throughout this chapter. You have him telling us here in the inerrant scriptures, you have God's word teaching us how the saved ought to be. You see, right here we have some signs of what it means to be a strong church. And then look at verse 8. Verse 8, if you come to church here very much, you ought to have it memorized by now because you stare at it every Sunday. I want us to read that out loud together. "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." Father, I pray right now that you will remind us what it means to be strong. To be strong Christians, to be strong as your church. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Be seated. Well, let me walk you through some of these verses in our moments left. Right there you have the phrase, "Let brotherly love continue." And that phrase, brotherly love, well, that is in the Greek language, in essence, the name of the city in which Rocky grew up, Philadelphia. It means brotherly love, philos, in the Greek language. And right there, we're given a description, right there, of what it means to be a strong church, a sign of a strong church. We're to let brotherly love continue. In fact, Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34, said this, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I loved you, you're also to love one another." Romans 13, 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 John chapter 3, and chapter 4 remind us. They're examples of how the Bible tells us that we are to love one another. In fact, Jesus goes on in John chapter 13, verse 35, and he tells us that people will know we're his disciples because of our love for one another. You know, Christians, loving Christians, has an evangelistic and a missionary impact. He says, let brotherly love continue. Then he goes on. He says, verse 2, do not neglect. Don't forget to do something, to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Genesis 18, Abraham is entertaining some folks. He had no idea they were angels. And he was showing hospitality to what ended up being angels. You see, we're to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're also to show care towards strangers. He goes on in verse 3 and says, remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. You see, we're to care for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to care for strangers, and we're to care for the less fortunate. We're to care for the prisoners. One of my favorite memories is one of the times that the worship band and I and some others, we went and ministered to the ladies' prison that's off of Route 288 and Courthouse Road. I didn't know that there was a prison there. We went over there and we ministered, and to see those ladies and to hear some of their stories and to know they're there paying their debt to society, to see them gather for worship, though, see them want to sing praises, them want to hear God's word, it was a privilege to take God's word there into that prison. You see, we ought to remember as a church what it means to have a ministry of mercy, I'll call it. We need to know what it means to show hospitality towards the strangers. Towards strangers. You know, at one point, all of us were strangers. I think about you graduates and how this is a special day for you, a special day for me as I get to celebrate this with you. And how, you know, there was a day we were strangers. There was a day all of you were strangers with one another. Yet, by God's grace and because of God's love, we're not strangers anymore, are we? No, we're His family. So you see, that gives us our first sign of a strong church. Here it is. Write it down. Strong churches care about people. Strong churches care about people. I remember when I was working on my doctorate, I was driving into Louisville, Kentucky, where I went to school. And you drive in on Interstate 64 from Virginia. Same Interstate 64 cuts through Virginia. Cuts right through Louisville, Kentucky. And I was driving in there to Louisville. And I passed by this large building, and I thought it was where the University of Louisville played basketball. It looked like a big arena. I was there at class, and my professor said, he said, tonight I want you guys to go over to Southeast Christian Church. It's one of the largest churches in North America, and I want you to go, and I want you just to kind of study how they do church. It was a Wednesday night church service. I said, okay. We drove there, and the building I thought was a university basketball arena was this church's building. It was massive. And we pulled in there, and I want you to know, as soon as we turned off Interstate 64, man, those people started loving us. They started caring about us. They were like, hey, you come park. Man, park right here. You got out of your car. Like, hey, how are you doing? Can we help you, man? Hey, come on in. I'll show you the way. I remember about a year later, Jennifer and Melissa was a baby then. They came out there to visit me when I was there doing one of the seminars, because you would go for like a week or two at a time. And they came to town, and I said, I want to take you to this Southeast Christian Church. And we went there, and because they had changed their service times, they had added yet another Sunday morning service. They were doing like 5 or 6, something like that. We were there when the service was half over. And we go in now. We've got like a one-year-old with us. We're like, hey, we'll just sit in the back. Somebody, he was on staff with them. Just picture, like, those of you who know Pastor Mac. He was like, no, come on in. I got a much better seat for you than that. And I'm like, yeah, but he's getting ready. The brother's getting ready to preach right now. He goes, that doesn't matter. Come on in. We'll treat you right. Come on in. He takes us right in the middle of the church service, like halfway down into the auditorium, and says, man, sit right here. It's one of the best seats in the house. You can see and you can hear great. That church knew how to care about people. I remember that after going with the class that first day, classmates got together and several of them said, I don't like that church. I don't like it. Well, I just asked them, I said, well, I'm curious, what didn't you like? It's just too big. It's too large. And I said, yeah, but think of it, man, I'll tell you, they genuinely cared about you. I remember my folks are in the service today. Dad, remember that time we went out there? Man, we showed up on a Tuesday evening, man. It was like they'd been waiting all day just for us to show up on a Tuesday night and gave us this full-fledged behind-the-scenes tour. By the way, a lot of you probably hadn't heard. I'd never heard of Southeast Christian Church. It's because it's not a Baptist church. A Baptist church gets big like that, everybody's going to know about it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because we flat know how to talk about being big. But anyhow, we went there, and I never heard of this church. But I walked away with this lesson, by the way. Now I know, not all, it's not one size fits all and all that, but I'll tell you this. I have learned this about churches like them. Churches don't get large by being hateful. They don't. They might get large for a little while, but they don't stay that way, because here's the deal. Strong churches care about people. Strong churches care about people. You know, this might be a good, this might be a good theme song for a church. See if it rings a bell. I'll show my age here a little bit, graduates. Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Some of you need to start repenting right now for watching that show so much. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Graduates, that's a theme song from a show called Cheers, set in a bar in Boston. You've probably seen it on TV Land or something like that, but anyhow. You know where a lot of people go to look for care and love and a family? Are bars, health clubs, Starbucks, Barnes & Noble. You know where they ought to be able to go? A strong church, amen. So strong churches care about people. Strong churches care about people. You read on and you see they also, man, they care about families. You see, look at verse 4. You might not expect this to be in a sermon about being a strong church. Verse 4 says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. You know, in the first century, marriage, they were wrestling with the definition of marriage back then too, just like we are now. And mark it down. Here's a sign of a strong church. Sign number 2. Strong churches honor and defend marriage. Folks, it is about time for the church to get into the game, get into the fight about marriage. It is time for us to honor and defend marriage. Now, here's the deal. Now, listen, most of us in here probably say amen and hallelujah to saying this is what marriage, this is the definition of marriage. But here's what confuses the world. What confuses the world is this. As they look at us and they hear us say, well, you say this is what marriage ought to be, and then they look at how we do marriage and they say, that looks pretty miserable to me. And it is time for the church to get strong in the area of marriage and family, because here's the deal. Weak families lead to weak churches, and weak churches lead to weak communities and weak states and weak countries. That's why right here in the book of Hebrews, he challenges the saved how they ought to be, what it means to be saved, what it means to be the church. And he says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Strong churches honor and defend marriage. We've got to step up the game here, folks. It is time for the church to rally. It is time for the church to encourage and to strengthen the marriages represented in this room right now. It is time for us to understand better than ever what it means to leave and to cleave to our spouse. Folks, the world, perhaps more than ever in my lifetime, is watching us and saying, what do you really think about marriage? Strong churches honor and defend marriage. Number three, look with me there at verse 5. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. They wrestled with this back then too, guys. They wrestled with worries about money. They wrestled with paying bills and all that right back then. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, and he gives two quotes from the Old Testament, one from Joshua, one from the Psalms. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise you have from God. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And here's a prayer. Verse 6, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You see, strong churches do this. They trust God's providence. Now, what do I mean by that? Strong churches trust in God's providence. You see, we have to remember what Paul said. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But churches and Christians, just in our families, we quickly go back to just wanting to trust what we can get our hands around. Bottom line is this. Strong churches trust in how God cares for us. They trust in God's protection. They trust in how God provides. strong church is trust in God's providence. Now listen, we get stronger when we remember this promise in this prayer. Remember this promise. The Lord will never leave us or forsake us. Now, by the way, graduates, you were doing other things this morning at your gathering and your celebrations. This is the first service I've had y'all sitting in here. Now, I remember, you know, a lot of times when you graduate from school, several of you are probably going to go away to work jobs or going to go away to school. You think, well, you know, I'm going to be out on my own. I'm not going to be with my family. Some graduates are like, yay, I get to get away from my family. Let me just mark it down for you right here. You don't get away from God. Some think they do get away from God. And I'm not saying you can't stray. Oh, you can. But bottom line is this. You might think you get away from God, but God never going to get away from you. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes we think we end up in God-forsaken places, don't we? Sometimes we think we go through situations in life that are God-forsaken. But I tell you what, we're strong when we trust in God's providence. You keep reading and he just keeps telling us this is what it means to be strong. In three places now, he talks about our leaders. You see, strong churches also remember those who lead. That's the fourth sign. In verse 17, and verse 24, he writes to us about our leaders. In verse 7, he says, remember your leaders. And he's talking about your church leaders. He says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. You know, I'm so thankful. You all remember me in so many ways. You remember your pastors here in so many ways. You're very obvious about that. You remember your leadership team and your lay leaders and your Bible study teachers. This church is strong, I believe, in many respects because this church has always remembered to lift up her leaders in prayer and support and encouragement. Why should you remember your leaders? Well, verse 7 says, well, because they speak the word and they provide an example. You go over to verse 17, he uses a different word. He uses the word obey. He says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. Why do that? Because they watch out for our well-being. The Bible says in verse 17 that they're going to give an account. The leaders of this church will give an account unto the Lord. It says in verse 17, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Listen, you don't profit, and neither do your church leaders profit when you give each other a hard time. It's of no advantage to either one. And then down in verse 24, I found this very interesting. He says, greet all your leaders and all the saints. You know, I wrote myself a note and said, every church member should be on speaking terms with his or her minister. He says, hey, greet them. Reminds me, I was at a retreat one time for some pastors of our Baptist Church in Virginia, of some of our larger churches, and we were there, and they had brought in Jim Henry, who had retired as pastor of First Baptist Orlando. And he'd been a pastor for years, and one of the questions was, Brother Jim, as that church got so much larger, how did you keep pastoring and caring for the people and being, you know, really connected with the folks? He said, well, he said, a few things to remember. One, walk slowly through the crowd. Number two, when people ask you to pray, stop and pray right then. And number three, he said, also remember that you have an impact in a ministry to the children and youth of that church. And he told stories about how children would grow up, and years later they would come back and talk with him about how they had appreciated him being their pastor too. And you know, that's something I've attempted to ascribe to, because you know, it's a blessing to get to pastor a church. You know what strong churches do? They remember those who lead. And you do that well. So keep exercising that skill. Preachers and pastors should be Christ-centered. You find that here in Hebrews 13. And then in verse 10, and we've had a great example of this in the Lord's Supper today. In verse 10, he picks up on a theme in Hebrews that's kind of the theme throughout the whole book. You see, the book of Hebrews uses the word sin the most of any book of the New Testament except for the book of Romans. Because, see, the writer of Hebrews understood that sin was a really big deal. And sin was the barrier to keep us from a relationship with God. So in Hebrews, he talks about how dreadful our sin is, but how wonderful Christ's sacrifice is. And of course, the Hebrews, remember, this is written, Hebrews is written kind of to the Hebrews, to Jewish folks. They had been practicing for generations a system where they would sacrifice animals, for instance. Now, we know those sacrifices actually were an example pointing us to the ultimate sacrifice of the true Lamb of God, Jesus Christ himself, which you remember today in the Lord's Supper. But here in Hebrews, he points out that Jesus is the real sacrifice for sin. Verse 10, we have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order, he says, to sanctify the people through his own blood. He's saying there that Jesus suffered so he could make us acceptable to God. He did that, the Bible says here, through his own blood. And so therefore, verse 13 says, we're to do this. Let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. That means stand with Jesus no matter what. For here we have no lasting city. He's referring to the old Jerusalem. They would pilgrimage to Jerusalem to worship. He says, but we seek the city that is to come. He's talking about the new Jerusalem. You read about in the book of Revelation, by the way. So verse 15, through him then, let us do this. Continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. That's what you've been doing today. You've been singing these praises. You've been offering him praises. You see, Jesus sacrificed once and all for our sins, but every day is an opportunity for me to sacrifice myself to him as an offering of worship. And then he goes on, he says in verse 16, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. You see, worship and the life I live always go hand in hand. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So here's a sign of a strong church. Strong churches praise and serve the Lord. You see, strong churches praise, sing songs, share the scripture, but they also please the Lord. They serve him. They serve him. That's being a strong church. And then in verse 18, something we should never forget. In fact, Kent Hughes says, if we desire power in our lives and in our churches, we have to do something. He says we have to pray. That's what verse 18 says. Pray for us. Pray for us. That's the sixth sign of a strong church. Pray for us, for we're sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. The writer of Hebrews believes in prayer. We studied 1 and 2 Thessalonians. We were told there to pray without ceasing. Strong churches, number 6, are people of prayer. And then finally, he wraps it up in verse 20 with just praising the Lord Jesus. He says in verse 20, now may the God of peace who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, there's the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. By the way, Gospel of John, Jesus is called the good shepherd. First Peter, he's called the chief shepherd. Here he's called the great shepherd. You know, a church never loses their shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd. Preachers are just under shepherds, by the way. What will he do? Verse 21, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Here's the ultimate sign of a strong church. Number 7, strong churches look to Jesus as Lord. Look to Jesus as Lord. Here's some exercises, church, to get stronger. You ought to work out together as a fellowship. Listen to the guidance of your leadership. And then just keep lifting up Jesus in all you do. Just keep lifting up Jesus
in all you do.
And I came across a picture. And it's a picture taken there in front of Museum of Art in Philadelphia. But if you go to Philadelphia and you ask somebody to tell you where that is, let me tell you the easier way to get there. Simply ask somebody in Philadelphia where the Rocky Steps are. And they'll tell you they're right there. Because you see, that is the location of perhaps the most famous scene in all the Rocky movies, where Rocky climbs those stairs and puts his hands up in victory. In fact, to the side, there's a statue of him doing that. And folks, here's the deal. That's just a movie. Yet every day at that location, people show up to do that pose, to have their picture taken. You know what? When I looked at that picture, you know what I thought? And that was our teenagers there last summer doing mission work in a city where there is dire need. You know what I thought? I thought, Parkway's getting stronger. Parkway's getting stronger. Amen? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's never forget that. Strong churches. Because our God is stronger. Nothing make-believe about that. Nothing make-believe about being a strong church. I want you to bow your heads with me. Father, I pray right now for any soul in this room that needs you, Jesus, their Lord and Savior. They'll put their trust in you. And Lord, I just pray that you will help us as a church to never forget that it is you who makes us strong. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as the band and team's coming up to get us ready to lead us in our closing song, here's what we want to invite you to do. If you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to be down front. And I would love to have the opportunity to introduce you to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, okay? And so you just come down front and say, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Because here's the deal. Life ultimately ends up being hopeless without Christ. Eternity ends up being hell without Christ. Jesus is the only one who paid for our sin, the only one worthy of our worship, the only one ultimately you can turn to. So if you've never yielded your life to Jesus Christ in repentance of your sin and surrendered yourself to Him as your Lord and Savior, would you please, during this song, come forward and claim Jesus. He's the best friend you'll ever have. Put your faith in Him today. You may be here and you've not been baptized as a believer. You can come forward. I'd love to talk with you about that. We'll get your name and some information so folks can call and follow with you about what that means and how that can take place. And then if you're looking for a church to strengthen your walk with the Lord, and you're looking for a church to exercise your walk with the Lord in, well, I think you've come to the right place. So you come forward during this song and say, I want this to be my church home, and we'll welcome you into this fellowship. So let's stand together as we now sing this song, and you respond as God leads.